All right, let's get into the word. Let's get into the word. As I was preparing, I was, you know, talking to God and, you know, kind of going, what do you want me to share? And I felt him pressing in once again on this topic of prayer and praying the word and how the word is so important. And I tell you, as I was doing this study, it really blessed me. It really spoke to me, and there was so much of revelation, and I pray that it will bless you today. It will speak to you, that it will open your eyes to what matters in the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to that, or you can refer to the screen. The scriptures will be on the screen. In Mark chapter 4, it says in verse 2, then he taught them many things by parables. So what is a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus taught more than 30 parables during his time on earth. And this particular parable is so, so very important for us to get a grip on. You know, when his disciples came to him and said, you know, what does this parable mean? He said, don't you understand? He said, if you don't understand this parable, you will not be able to understand any parable. So this is basic. Turn to your neighbor and say, this basic stuff here. Get a grip on this today. Amen. If we get a grip on this, we'll get a grip on the rest of the word. So pay close attention. In Mark chapter 4 verse 3, Jesus says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root in it, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And then he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so, Spirit of God, we pray over every heart and every life, that as you speak, give us ears to hear. I pray, Spirit of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, come upon your church today, that there will be transformation in our minds and in our hearts that will bear fruit, that will last for all eternity. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding, that we may know today what is the hope of our calling, what is our glorious inheritance, that we will get a grip on what has already been released, and that there will be a partaking today. There will be a reaching out and obtaining. Today is a day of salvation. I declare that today lives are transformed through the preaching of your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here and you are transforming lives like only you can do. We give you all the glory. May the name of Jesus be exalted in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So the context behind this scripture is that Jesus is teaching the crowd. He's teaching his disciples what he had come to establish to do in this point of time. See, the disciples thought that Jesus was coming to establish an earthly kingdom. They had been oppressed for centuries by different civilizations, and now they are oppressed and harshly treated by the Romans. And so they said, you know, this is our Messiah. This is our Savior. He's going to break the work of our enemies over our lives. You know, he's going to redeem us. He's going to rescue us. He's going to establish himself as king, and we're going to be right there next to him. On the contrary, Jesus' assignment at this point was to establish a spiritual kingdom. And so he begins to tell them the parable of the sower, the seeds in which the sower would sow, and the soil in which those seeds would fall upon. From the parable, we recognize and we understand that God is the sower. The seeds are the word of God, and the soil is the human heart. You see, the seed to the natural world operates exactly how the word of God operates in the kingdom of God. So when you look at a seed, what do you understand by it? It's small, seems insignificant, looks tiny, and this looks like it can't do much, right? But what do we understand about a seed? That everything in life begins with it. Every plant, every shrub, every tree begins as a seed. Every human life on this planet began as a seed. Another word for seed is sperma. Every animal on the planet began as a seed. No seed, no life. Seeds have the capacity to create life. Like there is no life in our world, no animals, no plants, no humans. It will not exist if there are no seeds. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. Nothing would exist without the word of God. So God is the great sower. And he is speaking continuously to mankind. He speaks through his creation. When we look at the stars in the sky, when we look at the sun in the sky, when we look at the trees and the mountains and the insects, tiny little insects, when we begin to understand how we are created, how our eyes function and how our brains function, everything speaks of intentionality. It speaks of superior design. To everything created, it speaks of a creator. God is speaking. God speaks through the human heart. He speaks to our consciousness, whether you are a believer, whether you are a sinner, whether you are saved. All of us have a consciousness in our hearts. We somehow instinctively know what is right and wrong. Like a little baby, yeah? As soon as they can crawl, they'll be poking that plug, you know. Right or not? Who taught them to do that? Trying to put something in there, picking up things, tiny things and putting, hey, what are you doing? And they, you know, get startled. Like I've been caught. We instinctively know. So that is what God has put within us to show us that he is real. Eternity is real. The Bible says that God has put that knowledge in our heart. And that is why the atheists fight so hard against it. You don't see people in universities arguing, debating, doing research about the tooth fairy. Writing novels, writing books, writing encyclopedias about the tooth fairy, trying to convince the world that the tooth fairy is real. Why don't they do that? Because we all know the tooth fairy is not real. Why do they fight so hard to disprove that there is a God? Because deep down inside of each and every one of us, we know that there is a God. God is real, and he speaks through creation. He speaks through our inner witness. He spoke through Jesus. And what did he show us through Jesus? That God so loved the world. God so loved you. He loved mankind that he was not willing that anyone should perish. Mankind was headed towards destruction and death because of sin in our heart, because of rebellion. We were headed towards hell, but God brought the answer through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, he displayed to us, he showed us, he revealed to us the Father. He spoke of who he was, that he's a good Father, that he's a compassionate God, that's a God of kindness, a God of restoration, a God that looks out for the prodigal to return. And finally, he dies on the cross, taking our sin, our punishment, so that we can be reconciled to the Father in heaven. God spoke to Jesus. Today, God speaks through his church, through the preaching of the word. When you go out and you share that gospel, when you open up the Bible and begin to read, God speaks. And that is how he sows his seed. God is the great sower. And when a person opens up their heart to God, there is salvation. A good news is received. And they recognize that they are a sinner in need of a savior. And as they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and as they make him Lord of their lives, the good news is birthed in their heart. They become a new creation. They are born again into a new kingdom, an eternal kingdom, into the family of God. Your spirit comes alive. How does it happen? Through the seed. Through the word, we are born into the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through, what does it say? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, it doesn't end there. Salvation is the entryway into all that he has ahead of us. We are on a journey to become partakers of his divine nature. Just think about that for a moment. The God who made Jupiter wants to share his nature with us. His mind with us, his wisdom with us, his heart with us. He wants us to partake of his divine nature. James chapter 1 verse 18, it says, for of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. There it is. That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now you see this process of what begins to happen when we're saved. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. At the point of salvation, our spirits are saved. This journey on earth is where he is saving our souls. From start to end, it is the word. It is the word that transforms. It is the word that sets free. It is the word that saves. How does this word go to work? How does the kingdom of God grow and expand in our life to bring transformation? In Mark chapter 4, if we look down in verse 26, it says this, the kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the, what does it say there? Is it for the seed? It says, for the earth. Do you see that? For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. Notice it is the earth that allows for growth and to produce fruit. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1, when he wanted to create plants, when he wanted to create trees, what did he speak to? He spoke to the earth. Let the earth produce. The seed is a word of God. He spoke it to the earth. And the earth began to produce. When he wanted to create animals, creatures, living things, what did he speak to? He spoke to the earth. You see, the seed has a potential for growth, to bring life, to create something amazing. Something significant, but on its own, it has no power to produce fruit. The ground has everything in it. It has the minerals. It's got nutrients. It's got moisture to produce life. But in itself, it has no power to bear fruit. What needs to happen? That seed needs to hit the ground. The seed needs to hit the ground. Turn to your neighbor and say, let that seed hit the ground. Watch that seed hit the ground. Like a woman who has everything inside of her. From the day she's born, she's got the ovaries, she's got the womb, you know, she's got the eggs all in there. She's got the hormones. But she's not going to birth a child until a seed is planted within her. Then she will bear. Then she will bring forth a child. In the same way, when we come to God, God has put within us everything. Everything we need. Everything we need to live an abundant life, to live a victorious life, when He put His Spirit within us. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says, everything we could ever need in life and for godliness has already been deposited in us by His divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing Him who has called us by name and invited us to come to Him through a glorious manifestation of His goodness. And as a result of this, He has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. Do you see that? God has already put within you everything you need to know God. Everything you need to live like Christ. Everything you need to live a victorious life. Everything you need for your healing, for your peace of mind, for wisdom, for power to create wealth, for success. You know, some of you are like, oh, I've got no peace, Pastor. You know, I cannot sleep, Pastor. It's already in you. He's already put it in you. Why? Because the Spirit of God bears fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is already there. And so what we need to be able to do is release that peace. To release that joy. I'm depressed. I'm struggling. I can find no joy. It's there. It's already inside of you. Kindness, I'm struggling to be kind. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, victory in every area of your life. He has already put it there at your new birth. So why don't I see any changes, Pastor? Why am I struggling? Why can't I overcome temptation? Why is there no good fruit in my life? In Joshua chapter 1. God had rescued the nation of Israel out of captivity, out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt. They were slaves there to Pharaoh, and God miraculously delivers them. Nothing they did, it was all God's doing, and God set them free. And now they're standing in front of their promised land, in front of the land of Canaan. And God is saying to them, you know, I've set you free. I've rescued you. Now you're going to go into this place, into your inheritance, in everything I have provided for you. Provision is there. The blessing is there. I'll take care of your enemies. Yeah, you're going to have to fight some battles, but don't worry. I've got it sorted. It's only one thing you need to do. What is that one thing? In verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Everybody say your mouth. But you shall meditate. Say meditate. Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do. Everybody say to do. That you may observe to do according to all, come on, that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. God has set you free from the bondage of sin and death, the work of darkness over your life. He has taken you out of the kingdom of darkness and He's putting you into His kingdom. And He will defeat every enemy before you. He will provide everything He has already given to you. What must we do? We must be found in the Word. Meditate on the Word day and night. Notice it also says it must be on your mouth. So you must confess it. What I spoke to the women last week, it's not just enough to pray it in your heart, but to speak it out with conviction, declare it, pronounce it over your situation, over your children, over your marriage. Declare it with your mouth. And you must do whatever the Word says, very simple. Just do it. Just do it. Whatever it says, just do it. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance isn't a joke. Ignorance will lead to death. Ignorance will lead to chaos. Ignorance will destroy you. That's why Paul prayed earnestly for the church. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be open to know what is the hope of your calling, that there is hope because you are called in the first place. To know what is your inheritance, that all the money in the world can never buy. You have an inheritance that has your name on it. It's already been put into your account. Amazing that you will know what is already yours. The great power that is available to each and everyone, it says, who believe, not just for the pastors, not just for the prophets, anyone who believes. How many believers in this place? Ah, hallelujah. How many believers? You've got an inheritance in your name. The seed needs to hit the ground. A seed needs to hit the ground. In the morning, he just is like, you know, giving you your medicine. Take this tablet. Pagi tau, you bangun, makan, lepas tu you ambil ubat ni. Okay? Morning and in the evening, meditate, declare and do the word. So number one, sow the word. Number two, guard the word. Because the devil is coming after the word. The enemy is a thief. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the thing about a thief is, you don't realize what is missing until you're a ways off. Hey, where's my wallet? I thought I put it right here. How come my wallet's missing? You don't realize, right? It's gone. Hey, where's my phone? You know, I put it right here. And I know, where is it? Did I put it somewhere trying to retrace your steps? It's gone. Where's my faith? I thought I had some faith in me. Where's my faith? Where's my joy? I thought I had joy just yesterday, you know, but where is it today? The thief comes to steal, and he's good at it. And so you've got to guard the word because the enemy is coming after the word. And how does it do it? There are four types of soil. There are four types of hearts. And all of us fall into one of these categories. The first one is the wayward path, the hard soil. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, it says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So these are people who fall into the category of no understanding. They don't understand what's going on, right? Like I'm preaching here away and they just have no clue. You know, they're thinking about lunch later. Is it nasi lemak or is it mee hoon we're going to have today? You know, that mee hoon that day wasn't that nice. No, I hope they serve the nasi lemak later. Just have no understanding about what's going on. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, it even says this, that they trample the seed underfoot. There's no reverence for the word. You know, the pastor's preaching up front and they're just scrolling through Instagram in their back seat. Let's not look around. Fix our focus to the front. The word is treated casually without reverence, and you ask them at the end of service, hey, what pastor preached today? Something about God lah. How many of us know people like that? How many of us are married to people like that? Praise the Lord. Before they're out the door, the word's stolen, it's gone. Trying to crack your head and remember. The word landed on the surface of their mind. It did not sink in. They did not apply themselves to understanding. Just another Sunday to them. It's just another sermon. Before they know it, the word is stolen. The word is stolen in Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, ignorance, blindness leads to darkness. There is no life. May it never be said here in Destiny C3 that familiarity breeds contempt. May we never become over familiar with the Word of God. May we never be over familiar with the things of God, with the presence of God, in serving the one and living God. May we never take this for granted, our fellowship with one another. May we never become over familiar with the things of God. Let me tell you, this is the eternal Word of God. Everything in life will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Our marriage one day will be no more. The cars you drive, the house you live in, the holidays you go to, everything is going to go. Only this remains. Only this has eternal value. So give it your full attention. Honor the word, embrace the word, meditate on the word. When you're out after service, during lunch, talk to your kids about it. What did you learn today from the message? Discuss it. Go to connect groups. There's a way that you can discuss it and apply it, because what we do is we discuss what was shared and we learn to apply it. We pray for each other. So let the word sink into our hearts, sink into our minds. Amen. Can I get a good amen? Amen. The second one is stony soil. In verse 16 to 17, it says, these are those who hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so only endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Roots take time to grow. Anyone who's done any gardening here? Roots take time to grow. And many people want to see fruit in their life. They want to see victory. They want to see blessing. But they are not willing to wait for the roots to grow. And these are people who are shallow in their faith. And so they so easily give up when life gets tough. Like a plant, you cannot put a timing on it. On the 25th of May, it's going to produce a flower. In the same way, in our spirit, we can't put a timing on when we're going to see fruit. So don't go and dig it up and say, hey, what's happening in there, seed? I planted this last week. There's nothing happening. You got to put it in the ground. You've got to wait on it. And it will produce fruit. You got to wait 1 week. You got to wait 1 year. You got to wait 10 years. Whatever, however long it takes, it will produce fruit. Because the word, when it is sent forth, will not return void. It will accomplish what it has been sent to do. It will flourish, in fact, in the place that it has been sent. That is the promise of what the Word of God says it will do in our lives. And so we must not be getting impatient. Roots take time to grow. And the other thing about this passage of scripture that says is that the enemy will come after the Word. As soon as you're in a connect group, as soon as you join Bible College online, as soon as you're opening up the Bible to study, all of a sudden, all these attacks will start coming. And you got to recognize that it's the enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It is the enemy that's trying to distract you, to discourage you. What is he after? He's not bothered about you. He's worried when you take a grip of this word. And what you will do, because let me tell you, you become a formidable enemy to him. You become a formidable foe. You are filled with wisdom, you're filled with power. You're filled with supernatural knowledge on what to do and what not to do. And so when the enemy comes against you, do what Jesus did. Declare the word. It is written. When the discouragement comes, the spirit of heaviness comes upon you, all of a sudden, oh, why you're feeling down, declare the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. And by that, we declare the word. And by that, we take hold and we lay ground and we take hold of what God has for us. Let those roots grow down. Let those word of God dwell richly in our life. The third one is soil with seeds. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The fact is, a ground only has so much nutrients to produce good fruit. When weeds show up, it steals nutrients. It steals moisture that is meant for the plant to produce good fruit. We only have 24 hours in a day. We only have a limited amount of resources, attention, energy, focus. Our priorities need to be lined up with God's priorities. The things of the world, yes, it's tempting. Yes, it's alluring, but they are temporary and it will eventually fade away. In contrast, the word of God is eternal and it has the power to transform our lives. Now, this passage is not a condemnation against wealth or success, but it's warning us against the deceitfulness of riches, which can distract us from God. It can lead us away from His will for our lives. If we are blessed with wealth and success, awesome. It's so important for us to remember to use these blessings for God's glory rather than allowing them to distract us from our faith, distract us from our calling, distract us from our purpose. Finally, good soil. Good soil, the seed that fell on the good soil, represents those who truly hear and understand God's word. You get it. It's revelation to you. You go home and you apply it, and they produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much has been planted. Incredible. Look at the math. He plants one seed. One word can transform your life. Imagine two scriptures. Imagine five scriptures. Imagine the harvest that is able to happen in your life, in all areas of your life. You're able to be blessed, to be victorious, to be strong. This is what God wants for each one of us, to live a life of abundance for every good work. There is no limit to what God can do in your life and through your life when you get a grip of the word. Of the word, for the word of God is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me tell you this, God's words are not dead words on an old dusty book. It is alive and it will speak to you if you are willing to take the time. It will reveal to you great truths in what you need to do and the things that you need to lay hold of. It is alive. It is powerful. It is precise. You know, I read this story that how some seeds that were found, did y'all read about this? Some seeds that were found in Pharaoh's tomb. They actually took those seeds out and they planted it and it actually bore fruit. It actually began to grow. Thousands of year old seeds. This word is eternal words, are eternal words, and it will produce seed and it will produce fruit time and time again. God's word is absolutely trustworthy because God is absolutely trustworthy. He is the epitome of integrity. His word therefore displays that same integrity, and we can fully depend on it. God is not a man. He does not lie. He's not human. He does not change his mind. If he has spoken it, it will come to pass. If he promised it, it will come to pass. He will carry it through. For it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible for God to lie. Only truth, only honesty, only purity comes from God. That is his very nature. And he has magnified his word above his name, and we all understand that. If you want to have a good name, you got to be a keeper of your word. If you say you're going to do something, you're really going to do it. You will follow through. That is having integrity. And people know that they can trust you because you always do what you say you will do, and God always does what he says he will do. He keeps his word. We can trust his word. So we're closing right now. In conclusion, I want to encourage you that the seed will produce. And God has placed within us everything that we need for life and for godliness. But that seed, Destiny C3, listen to me. That seed needs to hit the ground. It needs to be planted in our lives. Let me ask you, what area in your life are you seeing lack? What area is there a struggle? There's no peace. There's turmoil. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your mind. You don't have peace. There's anxiety. Maybe it's work. Let me ask you this now. What scriptures are you standing on? Well, God, like, you know, Pastor Debbie that day was saying something about the stripes of Jesus. You got to know your word. You got to memorize your word. You got to find whatever area you're looking at, you want to see fruit, find those scriptures. And that's why we photocopied the scriptures for you today so that you can go back, find it, highlight it, declare it. Amen. It must be coming out of your mouth because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let me ask you this as well. What do we need to cut down in our life to make way for the word of God? If you notice, in all those four grounds, it was a ground that had less that produced fruit. Less stones, less weeds. So what do you need to do to reprioritize? That the word of God becomes your top priority. Be found where the sower is sowing. Guard your heart. Cut out things that may be blocking your time in the word. Have reverence for the word. Have reverence for the word of God. And I really sense that in my spirit, that we should not become over familiar with the things of God. Amen? That we should once again give honor and reverence to the word. When it is spoken, when it is read at home, wherever you are, make time for the word and watch it produce in your life.